Welcome to your weekly English radio magazine on CJMQ 88.9 FM in Sherbrooke and CIDI 99.1 FM in the Lake Brome area. It's the Friday Drive, news commentary, 30-30 sports, arts and culture, and the interview of the week. Local events and issues for townshippers from townshippers. The Friday Drive starts right now with your host, Daniel Coulomb. 30-30 Sports on the Friday Drive.
It's 4:30. It's time for sports. Starting off the show with John Edwards. How are you this week?
So far so good. How are you?
Oh, very well. The Canadians finally lose, John. I have to say that I usually lose interest by the All-Star game, but this time I was on the edge of my seat till the end of the season. I had lost interest in hockey, but this team this year made me love hockey all over again.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way they've played certainly the last 2 months of the season and the brand of hockey they're playing is one that fun to watch. It's a fun team to get behind, and it has been since they turned it around in the new year. You know, watching them sort of come back and you know, from being left for dead early December, you know, to getting into the playoffs and to sort of thinking with that core as young as they are, what the next couple of years could look like. I mean, I think it's, you know, certainly a very exciting team to get behind.
Yeah, far beyond our expectations. Some questions for next year. Does Kirby Dach and Patrick Laine come back?
Kirby Dach, I'm not sure about. Laine, I'm kind of wondering if he's washed, but it took a long time to recover from that injury, so he may need some more time in the off season, but we also might be near the end for him.
It was really emotional to see David Savard say goodbye this week too.
Yeah, you could tell sort of how much this last run meant to him, and you know, and at least in the playoffs as opposed to
Absolutely. On
a team that was fighting for a lottery position, which
right. I want to talk a little bit about some legal issues in hockey. The trial of the five players accused for sexual misconduct, it now continues, but didn't the judge declare a mistrial 2 weeks ago? I'm confused.
Yeah, there was a mistrial declared, I think it was last week, but it was early enough in the trial that they dismissed the old jury, seated a new one, since I don't think they'd gotten to the stage of getting testimony. You know, since there's a publication ban in place for everything other than what's said in front of the jury, then isn't necessarily a difficult thing to, you know, to get a new jury and to start the trial. And so that's where we are. And that what's coming out of there is rather disturbing. So
yeah. This will probably not go well for the players, theoretically, if this were not to go right to the end. Could a Carter Hart ever come back to hockey? Do you think with the reputation now, he's pretty much done?
All of them are pretty much done here. A couple, I think, are, you know, have resurfaced in the KHL, and that may be where all five of them end up. The only one on that list who may have a pathway back is Carter Hart, partly depending on what his role in this whole fiasco was. And he's the only one who may be, as awful as it sounds, good enough to sort of be worth teams taking the PR hit for signing him.
A horrible story all around.
I think the rest of them are all finished, and they probably should be.
Yeah, okay. This other guy, Adam Johnson, who died after getting cut by a skate blade, the other gentleman that was involved in that incident, there are no criminal charges coming his way.
About a year and a half ago, in a game in Britain, Adam Johnson was hit along the boards, if I remember correctly. And, you know, he ended up eventually getting cut across the neck with a skate by Matt Petgrave. And the police in the UK have been looking at it for about 18 months to see if there was anything criminal in it, if it was sort of deliberate or reckless or anything that. And they finally came out this week, decided that there weren't going to be any criminal charges, which is no doubt a relief to Petgrave, who, you know, unfortunately has to live with this regardless. But the fact that there's nothing criminal, that I think the decision is that this is just sort of horrific, horrific accident, is at least be some relief to him. And at least that part of his nightmare is over.
Yeah, man, you have to wonder why this stuff doesn't happen more often. It's a dangerous sport. You know, wouldn't want to see anything like that. Who was that goalie for the Quebec Nordiques who was cut rather severely?
Clint Malarchuk.
Oh, yeah.
That's why junior hockey, they're mandating neck guards. After this happened, I think another couple of leagues, I feel like the AHL started mandating neck guards, because this is the type of thing that can happen. If, you know, a player ends up down on the ice or a skate blade comes up, those things are sharp. You know, they can do some damage, and we've seen that. And yeah, the Mlarchuk one is the most famous here, but, you know, hopefully he's the last of his kind, because people figure it out and start wearing neck guards, even in leagues where they don't have to.
You would hope so. All right, we talked 5:30.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Of course there's music, but we also talk about a lot of issues that matter to you. You're listening to The Friday Drive on CJMQ 88.9 FM and CIDI 99.1 FM.
Fantasize about the car I drive. Don't need the light on, I can find my way. It's been so long, now I have to say I'm going to California, gonna live the life, sipping on tequila. Going back home. Do you ever feel like you need a change? Hang out where no one knows your name. I'm going to California, gonna live the life, sipping on tequila night after night, dreaming of the moment when everything was right. Car I drive, don't need the light on, I can find my way. It's been so long, now I have to say. It's been so long, now I have to say. I'm going to California, gonna live the life, sipping on tequila night after night.
The Weekly News Review with longtime Townships journalist Mike McDevitt on The Friday Drive.
First Friday of May, Michael McDevitt in the house with The Weekly News Review. How are you?
I'm fine, Daniel. How are you?
Just fine. I guess you were watching the elections on Monday night.
Oh, did we have an election?
Oh, yeah. Liberals 169, Conservatives 144, Bloc 22, NPD at 7, and the Greens at 1. Michael, did the Conservatives do better than expected?
They did better than I expected. I shouldn't have been surprised. I mean, we're not a united country by any stretch of the imagination, although we certainly did get behind putting up resistance to the American aggression. The Conservatives did do better than I thought. It's not a bad thing to keep the Liberals under a little tighter leash. They tend to get a little arrogant. That means he's got work to do. We'll see how good a politician he really is.
Right. What else piqued your interest on Monday?
Oh, well, the best news of the night, Pierre went down.
In his own writing.
I love that. The best news of the night.
Bruce Fanjoy is a rock star in Carleton.
The real rock stars are the people that said, you know, there's enough of this idiot. Let's say something. It's the voters in Carleton that sent a message. Fanjoy, well, I don't know how much of it to his credit. I'll let him take it.
Yeah. Pierre Poilievre says he wants to stay, Michael. I think the big question is, will the Conservatives, they have a history of eating their own, will they want to keep him?
That's a good question. I think they will. I don't know that there's anybody standing in line behind him. The advantage there is he's not allowed in Parliament. We don't get the blessings of his acid tongue. He's got work to do. Parliament's got to reconvene. Somebody has to resign. Carney has something like 3 months in which to call an election. Carney's got some time. The NDP is not wanting to bring him down. The Bloc have said they don't want to bring him down. I think he's got a year to show us what he can do.
The appetite for a new election is non-existent at this stage.
I wouldn't count on people wanting to vote again. This was a heady election. This was the most exciting election I can remember in a long, long time.
Liberals won thanks to Donald Trump. Let's make sure we mention that. Now, Mr. Carney has work to do. He needs to form a new cabinet, ASAP. Canada's hosting the G7 in a few weeks, and the Donald should be there. And I'm thinking that now that the votes are in, Mr. Trump will start on the 51st state nonsense again. Michael, does Carney gain anything by going to Washington in the next 2 days?
You don't know how Trump's going to react. Either he's going to be a really nice guy or he's going to be his usual self. I don't think Carney really has a choice. He's got to go down there. He's got to be firm. I think he can do that. Carney's not a rookie when it comes to either negotiations or knowing his facts. Intellectually, he can whip Trump into a frenzy. He's also a reasonably good diplomat in terms of, well, we gain nothing by peeving this guy off. I think it'll go okay.
I just wouldn't want to see Carney sitting on a couch with Vance asking him to thank the United States, you know?
Vance is going to be there. My advice to him is just don't pay any attention to him. He's nothing but a lapdog anyway. I wouldn't even acknowledge him. Basically, what's this guy doing here?
This minority government business, you have to think the Bloc's going to be playing both the Liberals and Conservatives like violins in the next while to get goodies, no?
Gotta tell you something. The leader of the Bloc right now seems to be a very, very clever guy. I don't think he's interested in bringing down the government before he knows what the government is. I think he'll be arguing his points. It's going to be a tough time for Carney. He's got work to do. He does have the time, though. I'm convinced of that. He must have at least a year of nobody trying to bring down the government.
Alberta and Danielle Smith continue to suggest that they would like to separate from Canada and even join the U.S. What do you think of that?
I don't think she could win a referendum, even if she did. I don't think she has the slightest idea how difficult separating from Canada would be. Alberta's not like Quebec. Most of the province is federal land. You got to negotiate that stuff. Can't just walk out the door, as Quebec governments have found out. I think it's a pipe dream. Let her have them. I don't think she's a threat. It could even cost her job. She's in a position to cause a lot of trouble. Not seriously, I don't think.
All right, the NDP almost wiped off the map. Jagmeet Singh finished third in his riding. You have to wonder how, if say he would have, as suggested at the time, stopped supporting Trudeau in the fall and helped call an election, how history would be totally changed.
Well, it would have been. I'm glad he didn't. That's all I can say. The Conservatives would have won in a landslide, and that wouldn't have done Jagmeet or anybody else any good. He would have kept his job, but, you know, he's an employable guy. I don't think he's going to starve. The NDP has to rethink its status, because I'm not writing them off yet. There's need in this country for the NDP. There's a lot of NDP voters out there that just decided, no, this is a one-issue election, and we gotta back the guy that has a chance of winning it.
In Sherbrooke, incumbent Élisabeth Briand reelected with 51.4% of the vote. Bromme-Missisquoi had Louis Villeneuve at 48.2%, and Shefford, the Bloc Québécois, reclaimed its riding. And Marianne Dandurand, Michael, replaced Marie-Claude Bibeau in Compton-Stanstead. We'll be speaking with her in the next few weeks on this show and talk about Marie-Claude Bibeau. She's done well these past few years.
I kind of feel sorry for her, because if she'd known that the election was going to go the way it did, I think she would have won her seat. I think she could have been a cabinet minister again. She decided to play it safe, go for the mayoralty. Things changed awfully fast in this election. It looked like they were dead meat, and here they are forming a government again. So
Madame Bibeau is going to think that local politics is way different from federal politics.
Well, it certainly is. But she knows that. She was married to a mayor before. I don't think there'll be any surprises.
As of Tuesday, Michael, Quebec's minimum wage is $16.10 per hour, up from $15.75. Labor Minister Jean Boulet said it would benefit 217,400 people, including 118,400 women, who could see an increase in their disposable income of about $484 per year. If you work 40 hours per week, Michael, that's $644 before taxes. Don't spend it all in one place.
Well, you're not going to be buying a house with that. It's certainly going to help with the groceries. That's all I can say. Unless, of course, you lose your job because your restaurant closes. These are tricky times.
Tough to make ends meet on a good salary. $644 a week, I tell you, man.
It's not a lot, but I've lived on less.
100 days of Mr. Trump. The Donald says it's been the most successful period in U.S. history. Michael McDevitt, would you beg to differ?
Well, depends on what he's trying to do. I mean, if he's saying that things are just rosy, then obviously he's living in a delusional world. But if you're trying to bring down the country, ruin its reputation, and cause chaos, yeah, it's been very successful. He's accomplished every one of those things. I mean, he's deporting citizens now. So, I mean, I don't know how much worse it can get.
Do you see this more as dictatorship, or do you see it more as a clown show? Yeah.
Look, one of the things about dictators, they have to be able to get things done. Hitler was very successful until he started the war. Mussolini was very successful until he started the war. And that's what kept him in power. Trump's got none of these guys' skills. And the United States has an awful lot of institutions that can put up a fight. Even if he's successful, he's just going to blow himself up. He's an idiot.
The problem is surrounding himself with total incompetence.
That's going to show. I mean, that shows all the time. Even the muddle-headed MAGA maniacs are going to realize that the guy cannot accomplish anything that he said he wanted to. He's going to bankrupt very large corporations. He's going to bankrupt all kinds of small businesses. They're going to have nothing to show for it. We're waiting for the future. Well, the future is not going to come.
Well, he says all these countries are in line to want to deal with him. I would think the job of a president, you have a lot of work to do. You just don't have time to sit down and just do the minute stuff all by yourself.
The average trade agreement takes about 2-3 years to negotiate. So you've got the time to negotiate 90 of them at once. Good luck, pal. But he's forgetting that all those cards he thinks he has, he doesn't have. And he might be able to push around these tiny little countries that have no defenses. But the rest of the world, it's not as weak to think it is. Yep. You know, he said the other day that he runs the country, he runs the world. Well, no, he doesn't. Plays with the world. He causes it all kinds of grief, but he doesn't run it. He'll find that out eventually.
Man, Michael, I was reading this week, the major ports, like Los Angeles, expect 35-40% less ships to be coming in the next few weeks. The shelves are going to be empty by summer, and then it's going to hit these MAGA people and everyone in the United States that, hey, wait a minute, everything I'm buying is 40% more.
Yeah, if only that, you know, stuff coming in from China is over 100%. It's not sustainable. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And we haven't even started talking about how the tourism industry is being affected now.
Well, exactly.
Oh, man.
Awful lot of people are going to feel the pain before they ever feel any good.
Michael McDevitt, the Weekly News Review. Enjoy the May weather, Michael, and we speak next week.
It's gorgeous out there today.
You hang in there.
I will.
If you have any comments or questions regarding what you hear on today's show, email us at cjmqnews@yahoo.ca.
If you want space, you could have. If you want change, you could have. Sleep on your bed, you could have. Pull it to my head, you could have. If you want love, you could have. The way that you love. Just don't kill magic. Just don't kill the magic. I'm not ready to give up just yet. We can stay until we both forget. So baby, don't kill the magic.
Time for your weekly information from the Lake Brome, Missisquoi area on the Friday Drive.
Taylor McClure, right now, reporting from the Brome, Missisquoi region with stories for you from this week. Taylor, how are you?
Tired, but doing all right, Daniel. We're in our big move, so we're in the final stretch. So that's what we're focusing on at the time being.
Yes, I understand that you've had a heck of a past week. So what's going on right now with the studios?
Studios aren't completely up and running. We've put a PSA out there to inform our listeners that there may be some interruptions in our broadcasting. We may even go off air. We're still updating our equipment. We're still getting our tech up and running. It's a huge transition for a small but mighty CIDIs. This is what's happening right now. If you hear mistakes, it's normal. We are doing our best. We're a small team. We're just trying to get through this transition period. That way we can get back to producing content as quickly as possible.
I can just imagine you're being a piecemeal staff there. It's been basically everyone on board to try to make sure this move goes as smoothly as possible, right?
We need all hands on deck, but it's been a great team effort so far. It's a big change for us, so it's going to take some time for things to be smooth on air and with our broadcasting. So we just ask that people be patient, be kind. If there are any issues, please just reach out to us and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. But we're a small team and we're just trying to do our best to make this transition as successful as possible. So yeah, that's what's happening right now. And like I mentioned, we're in our final stretch. So that's where we're at with the move.
I remember the studio, of course, being in the basement for a long, long time. What corners of streets are you on now, this new studio?
Well, we're going to be in Knowlton. We're going to be on Lakeside, where once we're up and our signs are up, people will be able to see us. Once we're really ready for people to come visit, you'll know the address.
All right. It's going to be pretty cool to be in an actual building where you can see the street from the studio.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really nice. We're going to be more visible, and it's going to be a really great workspace. It's going to be a great change for all of the employees and hosts and volunteers that are involved with the radio station. So we're all very excited, and everyone's been very supportive. So, yeah.
It's an exciting period. Thank you so much for being along. And say hi to Tony Mason. He's been leading the team here for the past couple of weeks through this very exciting move for CIDI-FM.
Oh, yes, he's been great. He's been a great leader on this project. And I also want to know that since I'm one of the very few members of the CIDI team, I know that I haven't been bringing as much news stories to our community. But that's just because, like I said, we need all hands on deck. So right now, Township's Daily News Bits is on a pause. But we will be back up and running as soon as possible, as I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation.
Man, it sounds all super positive to me. Have a good rest of the move here. And we speak again next week.
Yes, you too, Daniel. Thanks a lot.
Township's weather, Friday night, cloudy, low 12. Saturday, cloudy, high 16. Saturday night, cloudy, there's a chance of showers, low 8. Sunday, cloudy, 18. And long range for Monday, mix of sun and cloud, high of 19 degrees. Ed Humphrey comes in right after 5 o'clock. People, events, and places in the Eastern Townships. 5:10 interview of the week, Monseigneur Martin Laliberté, the current Bishop of Trois-Rivières. He was appointed by Pope Francis in March of 2022. Fascinating interview. 5:30 sports with John Edwards. 5:40 arts and culture with Sonia Patnode. The Friday Drive is on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM.